the wrong one. Fumble. There we go. Welcome to the 119th edition of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. This is Evan.
This is Harry.
And we are here to talk North Texas football. Harry, we are 2-2 after playing one heck of a game against Georgia.
Absolutely. And got to enjoy the off week after that. You always would love to be able to pull off a humongous upset against a team like Georgia. But I thought the team played very, very inspired through three quarters. And then we just ran out of gas. But I think, you know, I can't be the only North Texas fan out there that has had just people that never before would say anything about North Texas come up to you and say, hey, man, you know, you guys really played a good game against Georgia. You know that, right? And, of course, I, you know, enjoy getting those comments because, you know, we don't typically do that. So it's pretty cool.
Well, the way you can really tell for me that it was an excellent game and an excellent performance is sometimes we'll hang with teams for the first quarter, almost to the half, things are looking good, and then it's all over. Okay. And this game wasn't that way. This game went well into the third quarter, and when you look about afterwards, when people were talking at the game, they weren't talking about the final score. They said Georgia survived a scare from North Texas, and people I know said, "Wow, y'all really hung with them." And so it was, you know, you usually have that. Well, you guys started out, but once Georgia started rolling, it was different. No, this was different. This was, we were up there. And that made a whole lot of difference to a lot of people. And you really got to wonder, can we string this thing together this year?
It feels good. I think there's definitely a momentum. There's a difference with this team that we haven't seen in the past 2 years. You know, winning that Ball State game was huge. But like we mentioned before the broadcast, I mean, right now we're sitting at 2-2. We could very easily be sitting at 3-1.
Yeah, no kidding. And think about that. 3-1 and Ball State has not rolled over. You know, they haven't, they've got a good little record going. Ohio's still playing good. Even, just like you said, even Idaho won. So yeah. Everybody we've played is kind of turning, is either doing good or at least turning a corner. So
let me give you a sample paragraph from a random article out there on the internet. And this gives you an idea of what we've been, as fans, been able to enjoy after, you know, post Georgia performance. The Mean Green had a bye this past weekend after going toe-to-toe with SEC power Georgia. That's kind of, I think that sentence kind of is something you saw in a lot of articles. So as a fan, you know, you see that, you get excited by it. But then again, the dark side of the North Texas fan, the one that creeps in at night and gives you nightmares, says, didn't we see something similar to this against Kansas State last year?
Yeah, but I don't think Kansas State was a Georgia man.
You're probably right, but you get my point. You know,
those, no, I understand. I mean,
you
look
go
at
up to
Georgia,
Kansas State,
look
and
at
you should have won the game, and yet you come back and you lose to teams like Troy.
Well,
you
know? No, I understand that, but look what Georgia did this past weekend.
Well, yeah. I mean, and that just, to me, that made the win even more impressive. In fact, all the games that I was pulling for teams to win, and those are former opponents of North Texas, like you said, the Idaho game, that was cool. The one that I wanted to lose won, and that was Tulane. And Tulane won a big game against Louisiana Monroe, and that's who we got to talk about this week because that's a huge game.
And what happened to Louisiana Monroe? They still have that quarterback that helped them beat Arkansas.
Colton Browning,
year.
He's still there. But, I mean, it was really crazy. The head coach of Louisiana Monroe just came unraveled after that game. Said that, you know, that Tulane was a bad team and, you know, they had no business losing to him and stuff. I mean, seemed kind of out of character for him. But, I tell you, they're on a roll. They're 3-2, man. Tulane is 3-2. They're talking about going to a bowl game this year, first time since 2002.
Yeah, they're looking to turn the corner with that quarterback. One of the things I tried to go to look at some of the stats from the Georgia game, so I went to the Athletic website and pulled up the stats. But when I pull them up, the glaring stat is that we're sorry the page you requested does not exist. I can't look at the stats, but you know, I love watching Breland Chancellor with that kick. If he was going to do it, and we wanted him to pull that out somewhere. That's right there. That, because that was a, you could have heard a pin drop in that place. You're watching the replay, and you just, oh, I wish there was fans to go crazy there. And there was some fans there, but most of all, you look and you see the sidelines, people just going, what just happened? And we just got, I mean, he went 99 yards or 98 yards. It was great.
And you
got
to think, if I'm the Tulane head coach, do I even kick it to Chancellor one time?
People keep doing it. I mean, you look at his stats, and he leads. He's in the top 10, 15 in all-purpose yards. He's one of the top returners. You got to say,
yeah, but now you're looking at, he did it against Georgia.
Well, yeah. So the chance that he's going to get kicked to or touchback, you know, what are they going to do?
I almost think you should come up with some type of play that if they kick it up to the front line, that you like start pitching it backwards until you got to get that guy the ball. I mean, I don't know how you figure out how to do it, and it was great to see the kickoff return, but he only had one reception in that entire game. And you know Tulane is going to try to do everything in their power to keep him from getting the ball. You just got to figure out a way to get
it
to him.
It was a rainy game. We tried to run the ball, could not run the ball to save our lives that day. The ball was not going to be run, and the way the weather panned out, throwing it was tough. I mean, you know, which is so crazy. If you would have told me this year or 2 years ago that North Texas is going to be throwing the ball all over the place.
We're a passing team now.
We are now a passing team, and we're always the run-it-up Buick team. I mean, how did this happen? You know, obviously when we lost Dunbar and then the whole question mark, we just don't have that star running back. But we have this stable. We've got Pegrams. We got all these guys back there. You'd think that somebody would step into that position and we would have that star running back that we've always had. Yeah. And it's just not happening this year. And who are we putting this on the shoulders of? Derek Thompson.
DT, baby.
He's slinging the ball out there, and all of a sudden now everybody's a believer. Now, I'm sure that that'll be controversial in the room, but, hey, the guy's done a lot of really good things.
He has. He's had a good season.
He has earned the position he holds, and now we're seeing why.
And, you know, the crazy thing is, was it that long ago we were talking about a true freshman losing his red shirt and getting on the field and maybe even starting in games? And, man, DeJuan Williams – gosh, I haven't heard anything about him in a long time.
No, I know, and that's the thing. He played what? How many? He hasn't played very much at all.
He played in the Idaho game. That's it.
And that's it. So what do we do? Do we burn that? I guess, or is there some kind of injury deal? I mean, what are we going to do? Because you kind of wonder if that was all for naught now.
Well, the guys in the chat room are talking about he's already lost his red shirt. I question that. I think we saw with Riley Dodge, you can play a few plays and then have a quasi injury and then still get a redshirt year. So
even North Texas can do that?
They did it with Riley Dodge. I know they did it with Riley Dodge. And I think if you play just a few plays and have an injury, that you can get that. So anyway,
just makes me think of that movie Victory when they needed the goalie to have an injury, so they broke his arm on purpose.
Oh gosh.
Hopefully that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that should happen either.
No, please don't.
No. But it is a good problem. I mean, I'm just love seeing, yeah, now we're looking at, wow, great, now Derek Thompson graduates this year. And that's not the problem we thought we had at the beginning of the year, but now we're like, man, he's stringing it together. But you know what? It's still early. I don't want to get, you know, delusions of grandeur here. We are 2-2. We're happy at 2-2. We were nearly, and everybody's going to go, we're 2-2. We're not 3-1. But we've really
6 points away.
6 points away, and we've played some pretty good teams. So look at the schedule. Look at how Conference USA is shaping up. This is how we would have liked to have seen it.
We have it. It's all ahead of us right now. And unfortunately, though, the problem is Tulane saying the same exact things right now. They think this is a win, and they're expecting it to be a win, even though we're favored by a couple points. Believe me, this is their homecoming game. They're doing a bunch of fundraising gatherings for the new Yulman Stadium that they're building, which is going to be a beautiful stadium, by the way. But, hey, man, Tulane's leaving the conference. This may be the last chance other than a New Orleans Bowl bid for us to get to go to New Orleans. We need a good showing here. I really feel like this is an important game.
All right, Deep Green in the chat room brought up a thing. He said UNT running game will break Tulane's back. What do we know about their run defense?
We know their defensive line is pretty stout. Mm-hmm. And they're young and they're aggressive and they've got some transfers from LSU and they kind of started off slow, but they really looked strong against Louisiana Monroe. So I worry about that a little bit. We haven't proven that we can run the ball. You know, I know we want to, but tell me really, other than maybe the Idaho game, have we had that commanding running game that we've become accustomed to. So that's a big thing. I mean, I think how the in the first quarter, how we're able to run the ball will say a lot about how this game plays out.
Their quarterback, how big of a thing is that?
Well, he's got a very good name because his last name is Montana. He's Joe Montana's son, Nick.
Right.
And but he had a rough game against Louisiana Monroe. I mean, Tulane won that Monroe game with their running game. That's how they did it, is with their running game, not their passing game. I think Montana has been kind of shaky, and I've watched him on some games. I think he can. He's prone to make some mistakes. He'll force some things, and if you can get pressure on him, that's the key. We haven't gotten a lot of sacks this year. If we can get a couple sacks early, then it could be very good for the defense.
Our one last thing before we go to our guests, you know, our offensive line has held to very few sacks of Derek Thomas. Derek Thompson. Very few sacks have been allowed, and it's one of the best stats you see out there, sacks allowed. We've been really holding that line, which has been great, giving him time to sling the ball just like what we need and how it's playing out this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little misleading to me because if you look, we throw a lot of those quick dump-off passes now.
Yeah,
but
so does everybody else. For years, we're getting killed by those.
I know, but I just think that – the whole thing about not having sacks, if your offense is built around not giving up sacks, then you get rid of the ball faster, you throw the ball away more. There's a lot of things that can lead to that. Me personally, I'd like to see us go a little bit more vertical more often, even though it's riskier, it kind of spreads open the defense. And I think, honestly, what's hurting our running game is that most of we're doing a lot of dinking and dunking. So they can still put 8 or 10 in the box. But hey, man, I'm not. If you're asking me to criticize Thompson, I'm not going to. This is the best season he's had
in
Texas.
No, I'm not. I'm definitely not criticizing him. My hat's off to him and the offensive line, the receivers, Breland Chancellor. It's a team effort. All right, so let's go ahead, and we are lucky to have a midseason visit with the athletic director for North Texas. So let's get him on the phone. 1 second. All right, joining us on the phone is the athletic director for the University of North Texas, Rick Villarreal. Rick, thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, and glad to be able to spend some time with you guys in the middle of the week.
So, Rick, we got the big game in New Orleans. I know we got a good contingent of fans that are going to be there. A lot of good memories from that town. I know you were there for those four bowl visits. Talk a little bit about this Tulane game as we're the fans are getting ready to get on Southwest and head on to Bourbon Street.
Well, you know, for us right now, I think where our program is, and I think it's as big as any of those bowl games that we played. I mean, I don't want to overemphasize it too much, but I just think that, you know, where this football team is right now, the way that they've played early in the season, the way they played against Georgia a week ago, I think this team's got a chance to do some special things, we've done some special things in New Orleans. I can remember when people used to call it the North Texas Bowl instead of the New Orleans Bowl, and George calls it Fout South, and it's a great place to go and enjoy a lot of things, food and music and entertainment and those kind of deals. But it's also the site of a really big football game this weekend. And you know, I think our kids are preparing that way. I think Dan made it real clear over the last couple of days that, you know, all that Georgia hype and all that talk about how well we played and all that has nothing to do. You know, that's all behind us and done. And right now, you know, we need to get on that plane Saturday night 1-0, in conference play.
So, I mean, obviously you've got some good memories of those trips to New Orleans and getting to go to the first bowl games in a long time for North Texas. Is this going to be a trip where, it rekindles a lot of those memories for you? And have you been – obviously you've been there for meetings and stuff, but have you been able to go to Bourbon Street or New Orleans much since those bowl games?
Well, yeah. I mean, I have family that way, so I get there every once in a while. But it doesn't take away from the memories. I mean, I did an interview 2 days ago, and as most people know, I get kind of emotional when things mean a lot to me. And what I remember about New Orleans is that as a kid, and as a high school athlete, I was lucky enough to go to a bunch of Sugar Bowls, living so close, and the Penn State Alabama game, when Pittsburgh came and played stayed in Biloxi, and just remembering all those Sugar Bowls, and probably my most the brightest and most vivid memory that I have is the, you know, when we beat Cincinnati in the second year, and of course there were some things we had to take care of at the Dome, but once we were able to leave the Dome, of course the first place we headed was Bourbon Street, and when you turn the corner off Canal and you look down Bourbon Street that night, it was nothing but green. And I mean, it was green everywhere. And for me, it was like the Sugar Bowl. I mean, it was no different. I mean, it was people reveling and, you know, having a good time and hugging each other, and you could see green for miles. And it was that vision of the kind of football team that we all want here. You know, a big-time football team playing in big-time games.
Hey, Rick, when obviously a lot of the fans that we have now, there's a large group that were here at the university, in school, during those bowl games. A lot of them remember that trip, and a lot of them are ready to go back. A lot of things have changed, and we've taken it to the next level. Tell us how being in Conference USA this year, what's different? I mean, how does that feel different than the Sun Belt from last year?
Well, you know, in all reality, I mean, I don't think it feels a lot different. I'm going to get away from football here for a second. But, you know, as we've gone through the conference schedules in our other sports, I mean, we've competed at the highest level. You know, I think we're 2-0 in volleyball in conference. We're 1-1 in conference in soccer. And we kind of – I'm not supposed to say this, but we got jobbed in the first one and got a tie out of it rather than win. But, you know, if you look at that, I think we've transitioned well. Now, what's going to happen in football, I think, you know, we're going to find out over the next, 8 weeks for us. But if you just look back a year ago at the Sun Belt, at how good football was in the Sun Belt. And, you know, I think that was playing in that league last year, I think it's very much like playing in this league this year. I think it was the same way. Everybody can play good on a given weekend, and everybody, you know, can be beat on any given weekend. And so going into Conference USA, I think, you know, the thing that we get most is additional exposure, you know, that exposure, be on TV. I got friends calling me all night tonight, you know, what time's the game coming on? Some of them live that way, you know, we'll be at the game. But it's the exposure that is really different for us. And some people might say, well, you know, how does that change things? Well, you know, if you play enough games and you play on TV enough times, the game changes. You know, I mean, you can be in the middle of a roll. I mean, if you go back and look a week ago at Georgia, it seemed like every time we started to get on a roll, there was TV timeouts. You know, there was that time that you didn't normally have. So in Conference USA, I think the other thing that we're going to have to be ready for is just that we're going to be playing longer games, simply because we're on TV and those TV timeouts are going to lengthen the game, and we've just got to be prepared to handle those games that way.
Rick, you know, we do the chats, have the chat room open during these interviews, so we've had some questions come in and through the chat room.
Sure.
We want to make sure that the members in there get their questions. One that, and I know we've asked you this several times before, but it constantly keeps coming up, is baseball. Is there anything new to report there? And I know there may not be, but I still got to ask the question.
I don't know what people would consider new, but the fact that the, you know, that the board approved, and our budget's been increased to the point that we now have $600,000 in our budget to begin the process of bringing baseball to the University of North Texas is a huge step. You know, we're in a fundraising campaign, and I know people will say, well, we're all, you know, we've been saying that for a little while. We were just at Georgia last week. You know, they've been trying to raise $7 million to upgrade their baseball stadium for the last 3.5 years. We've raised money a lot faster than that for projects, and we are raising money faster than that right now. But we're really concentrating on larger gifts, corporate naming opportunities. And before we can hire a coach, I've got to know that I'm going to have a facility, you know. We're going to have pledges in hand to at least have enough to go to the board here in a very short period to get approval for financing for that stadium. And once we have an agreement there, then, you know, we will move quickly to hire a baseball coach as soon as possible. We've had all kind of inquiries, and I'm sure that everybody on the board probably has a suggestion, as do 10,000 other people. I will tell you that we have had interest in this head coaching job from literally from the East Coast to the West Coast, from the northern border to the southern border. And guys that are head coaches, guys that have been major leaguers, guys that have been major league coaches, you know, we're going to have a great, great stable of candidates to pick from. And that's going to be important because, you know, we think we know we're going to build a great facility. We hire a great coach, and then that coach goes out and recruits the right kids, and we can be competitive right away. And, you know, I actually sat with Conference USA people when we met last Monday and said, you know, we're going to have baseball, and you need to put us down. I plan on us playing in the 15-16 season. And so that's where we are at this point. Some people might think, wow, that's a long time. It's really not. It's just right around the corner. But, you know, you got to hire a staff. Then you've got to give that staff a year to recruit. And we'll bring in a bunch of kids during the 14-15 year that won't play a game. You know, they'll practice and scrimmage and practice and scrimmage and practice and scrimmage. And, you know, they'll have that opportunity to become a baseball team. And then in the fall of 15, go into our non-traditional season where we'll play some games, exhibitions, those kind of things, and then play full steam in the Conference USA in the spring of 2016.
Rick, we had another question pertaining to baseball. Do we know where the stadium's going to be, and how big will the stadium be?
Well, the stadium will be built in the field that's directly across from Apogee. That's always been part of the master plan. So that grass field now there that serves as some game day parking is going to go away and become the home for North Texas baseball. It will tie into we will build a stadium. Right now we're working between 2,300 and 2,800 seats, but with the ability not only to expand but to put in temporary bleachers in the event that we were rated to the point that we could host a regional or a super regional, because we have one of the best sites to be able to do that. I mean, you know, when you look at our setup, I mean, with all the buildings we have over there, with all the dressing rooms, we actually could host regionals with dressing rooms for different teams and meeting spaces for different teams. And we think this would be a unique place and great place to do that. So, you know, it will have a number of amenities. We will have, you know, we'll have suites in it. We'll have, we're looking at some decks down the baselines that people could, you know, buy on an annual or rent on a game-by-game basis, depending on, you know, how it worked out. We're looking at trying to create what we call the right field nest, which would be a kind of a playoff of Southern Miss's right field roost, which is a place where you can actually, you know, pull your car in. It's an elevated kind of hill where you can pull your truck or car in and back it up, pull your grill out, pull your, you know, cooler out and watch the game over the right field fence, and make it a family affair, a family event. So we're going to have a lot of amenities and you know, things that will make us not only a great place to recruit to, but a great place to play regionals. We'll build our press box to the specifications so that if we, you know, we were going to host a super regional and we'd have all the needs for radio and TV. And then we're going to build a training center in between. So, and I think it's going to be a little unique. You know, it'll contain coaches' offices, meeting space. The locker room will be in under the stands, and so the players will walk right out of the dugout per major league's teams do. But in that other building, there'll be a training room and a weight room, and then behind there, there'll be a five-bay hitting and pitching center where they can roll down the doors when it's cold, open them up when it's warm, and get work done in there. Same time, we will do some work to the softball park and upgrade it to tie the whole facility together. And we think once it's built, it's going to be a really beautiful complex with a stadium, football stadium, really kind of tying into the baseball stadium, tying into the soccer stadium, tying into the softball stadium, you know, with everything looking the same, putting you know, new backs on the soccer stadium and the softball stadium, probably putting a roof on the softball stadium, and dressing the whole place up as part of this project.
Hey, RV, I see that the athletic department sent out a couple of tweets on some changes over at the Super Pit. Can you talk a little bit about those?
Oh, yeah. You know, I think people that haven't been since we made the changes, you know, when you walk in, one of the major complaints we always had was that the sound wasn't very good. You couldn't hear very well. And so the athletic department has invested about $300,000 in new speaker equipment, new audio equipment, and I mean it's unbelievable. It's well balanced. It's going to make it real easy for every fan in every seat to be able to hear what's going on. And then of course we've added a four-sided Jumbotron. Each screen is about I want to say it's 12 foot high by about 18 foot wide. They're all 10 millimeter definition television, high definition television, and then on the bottom below that, we actually have a kind of a ribbon wheel that we'll be able to run stuff off around while the game's going on. We can lower that and raise it depending on the event that we have, but you know, it's a great showpiece. Over the summer, students have come in to be able to put messages up during graduations, to be able to. For our families of our students to come in and see that now instead of, you know, just kind of this little real small screen hanging over a stage is a huge, huge change. And right now we're looking, we're getting some people on campus here to look at the lighting system because we'd like to have the lights redone and you know, the athletic department has raised the money and taken on the cost of doing the scoreboard and the sound system. And so we're going to ask... you know, we're going to ask the university to help us with the lighting system, and hopefully we can get that in place here pretty quick. We'll be adding a new court. You know, that court hadn't been there very long, but we'll be putting down a new court, which is the same court that was used, same type court that was used at the NCAA tournament, highest quality, highest level that you can get, and it will be painted up differently than it has in the past. So I don't really want to kind of get into that right now, but it'll be a change. It'll be a changed look from what we've seen in the past.
All right, that's good stuff there. Well, let me ask you. We got a couple of people asking questions, RV, in the chat room. One of them is, you mentioned earlier in the season the uniforms for the first game were a great hit. Fans loved them. It really brought out the whole spirit of the 100 years. You also, it's been kicked around that there's going to be some surprises later on. Are those going to be sooner than later? Or throw us a bone on any of those?
We'll kind of find out. You know, I think if we say, you know, it's here or there, then we kind of take away the surprise. I think it will come soon enough.
Okay. Sorry, guys,
you know,
I tried.
We play a couple of games on the road, and, of course, I wouldn't want to do something on the road that we wouldn't do at home, you know.
Gotcha.
I mean, if we're going to do something different, we'd want to do it in front of our home crowd.
All right.
You know, I think it's something that will be different for us, and I think the fans will like it. I think the players will like it. You know, the players aren't even aware of what it might be. And so I think it'll be a nice surprise and nice thing to roll out. We've thought about maybe doing some teasers along the way once we get down that way, but we're not quite sure exactly how we can tease a lot of it without just rolling it out. So, you know, there's several ways you can do it. We're just trying to get the biggest impact out of it.
RV, one of the challenges people saw early on looking at this year's schedule was the Rice game on Halloween evening. What kind of promotions are we looking at, or what kind of things are we pushing to get the attendance and crowd into that game?
Well, I'm going to go back to the president again and ask him about it. I know he is big about not canceling classes and that we're an educational institution, and I respect that tremendously. But, you know, this is a 6 o'clock game, not an 8 o'clock game this time, and I think we really got to get the students out. So we're going to start pushing a bunch of ads here real soon after this Middle Tennessee game about home attendance for the Rice game. We're going to have some things in the concourses for families to be able to bring their kids. So we'll have our student athletes running different games and stuff in the concourses so that you can bring them and they can still kind of enjoy the Halloween experience but be able to come to the game. We'll have Halloween contests where we'll judge contests and give away stuff like, could be things like bicycles, iPads, that kind of deal. We're going to challenge our, we're going to challenge our students right now. We're working with a group of students to produce a T-shirt that we try to get everybody to wear that night, for all the students to be able to sell it virtually at no cost to them, but also make it available to our regular fans with a special deal for our Mean Green Club members. That we could wear and come out in a unified look in the stands. We're working right now with TWU about the possibility of allowing their students to come to the game. And they don't, without a football team over there, we'll give them an opportunity to come to a game that night. So we have a lot of things going on, a lot of promotions going on, and a lot of things we're going to do to try to attract people.
RV, one of the questions that somebody just put on the board was future schedule. Anything changes, or are we looking at any combinations or anything that you can talk about the next couple of years on the out-of-conference schedule?
Well, we just, right now everybody's a little hesitant to make any kind of firm decisions on schedules because everybody, the Southeastern Conference has talked about going to 9 conference games. The ACC, when they make their change, they've talked about going to 9 conference games. How will that affect our schedule? We've got SMU and Army on the schedule here in the next couple of years. We're working on, our goal philosophy is going to be that we play, one national game, just like the Georgia game. And, I'm not big about moral victories. We played well, I think after people watched them play this weekend, I think people know how well we played. But we're going to schedule a game every year. We've got an opportunity to capture the national attention. If we go out and build our program and do the things that we're supposed to, you want one of those. But then we want to try to get 2 home and homes, and then we'll want to have a bye game in here. That may or may not be an FCS school. Some years it will, but you can only count FCS games every so often in bowl eligibility. So you don't want to get caught where you've used, one the year before, and then you get to a point you have to use one for the second year. So we're looking at, we've had calls from some Big 12 schools, from some American Athletic Conference schools who are interested in home and homes that would start at our place. And we're now reviewing those, but we have to be very cautious and kind of watch to see what happens in the next 6 months as to what people are going to do with their schedules.
Okay, we had a question in the chat room, Rick. With the Tulane game being such a big, like a bowl game atmosphere and everything else, if we do win the game, will you commit to doing sort of a Hulk Hogan victory dance on the sidelines after we win?
I think it should be on Bourbon Street.
I'm not sure what a Hulk Hogan victory dance would entail. I'm not going
to. Might have to Google that. I don't know what he's talking about either.
I'm not going to rip my shirt off, or that would be ugly on TV and
depressing
to my family. But no.
Or how about a round of drinks at Bourbon Heat?
I will buy everybody one drink at the bar of their choice. Now that's one drink for everybody. Y'all all have to drink out of the same glass. For me, right now I intend to come back with a team. But my family's coming in. Friday's my birthday, and so they're coming in for the game.
Happy birthday, Rick.
And so, you know, I might just decide, to be honest with you, if we win that game, I'm liable to tell Scotty that I'm not going to make the plane back, that I'm going to take a walk down to Bourbon Street and kind of relive some memories enjoy the moment.
That sure would be fun.
I think this is such a big game and a critical game. Not that it's a season-ending game or this is over, that's over. I mean, any number of things can happen in any game. But, I think looking over the first four games, we played three pretty good football teams, one really good football team. We're 2-2, could easily be 3-1. And, this team, I think, has an opportunity to prove that it belongs. I mean, it was only four short months ago that the rest of this conference said that we were going to be fifth in the West and, in the bottom three in the conference. Well, this is our opportunity to show them wrong, to prove them wrong. And we've just got to keep playing like we're playing, play with poise, don't make mistakes. Luckily, knock on wood, we've kept everybody pretty healthy. And if we can do that all season, then we're going to be in great shape.
Okay, Rick, we got basketball fans that want us to follow up, and basketball is nearing. Can you talk a little bit about Tony Benford and that team that he's putting together there? You've been around some good basketball.
It's kind of last year was a rough year for everybody, including me, just because I think being on the inside, knowing what was going on, everything from Tony Mitchell to things that people won't ever know that went in went on in that team, that really Tony Benford was dealt a deck that was not the best situation in the world. And I would tell you, if you talk to the three or four kids that are remaining from that team, they would tell you exactly the same thing. I mean, their approach to the game today is unbelievable. I've been to practice for last couple of days, just as much to get to know the new kids as to be around. But to be able to go out there, this team has so many abilities because of the personnel they brought in here. We can run the floor. We can play big. It's exciting to sit out there and watch, six guys shoot three-pointers and hit them on a regular basis. Knowing a year ago we only had one. I've been really pleased with the four new kids. Vitrell, at the point guard position, quick and moves well. He's agile, can shoot the three-pointer, can distribute the ball, has great basketball IQ. Kevin Gaines from Cincinnati, big 6'10 kid, rebounds the heck out of it, is going to be a force in there on defense, and again, has a great knowledge of the game. TJ Taylor, who sat out last year, may be the most complete player of them all. Broke his nose the other day, and he's back in practice 2 days later. There's a couple of kids, the two other junior college kids that we signed.
Flash, Armani Flash.
I can't think of his name right now. That's embarrassing.
Colin Voss, the big guy.
Yeah, Colin Voss. All five of those kids understand the game in a different way. And to watch practice and to watch us get up and down the floor, to watch practice and watch us go through what they call the IBA drill. And if you've never seen the IBA drill, it's something you don't ever want to go through. But it's basically you getting a pass, going to the floor for a loose ball, and then taking that loose ball to the bucket with two guys with football pads beating the dog out of you while you got to make three layups. And it will test you as a player. To watch those guys run that drill for the first time, many of them had never even seen the drill, to watch them run it for the first time with not only the enthusiasm but the energy and the strength they did was a lot of fun. And I will tell you that I know it's been put out there that, 3 years from now, I'm going to have to stand up and say, you know, Tony Benford's the worst coach I ever hired. Well, I can tell you this. Tony Benford's a hell of a basketball coach. And if you watch those practices and you watch what he's done, you look at the recent recruiting, which I can't really talk a lot about, but the kids that, you know, those young men who have said they're coming to the University of North Texas, when you start adding that to this group and you get them all playing on the same page, which that team didn't do a year ago, I think people are going to be really excited. I mean, if you got a chance, come out, I think it's October the 10th. We've got a night or...
yeah, Rick, I think somebody, we can get that date out to everyone because they talked about that.
You can get it off our website, but there'll be a lot of stuff going on with student participation, player participation. You'll get a chance to see some guys, this basketball team, and you'll see something very different than what you saw a year ago.
Sounds like a plan. Hey, Rick, I got to get this in before we finish up with you because this guy is asking me. Ben Williams is in the chat room and wanted me to tell you hello from him.
Hey, Ben, Ben still over in what country was in last time that I talked to him?
I think he's in Ecuador.
Ecuador. I knew it was a South American country. I couldn't remember which one it was.
Yeah.
No, you know, Ben, you know, well, I always want to say hi to you. Ben is a guy, some of you know and some of you don't know, that when I first got here, we had no athletic fee at all to help our student athletes. And Ben was responsible for going out and getting a couple dollar fee, even though we were asking for $4.50. Ben was able to help push through a temporary $2 fee that allowed us to make our first changes in the program. And I will always be thankful to him and that group of senators that kind of bucked the system, to be honest with you, but gave us a chance. And, you know, most of all, our women. I mean, we were able to transform our women's programs immensely. And because we transformed those women's programs, we were able to move on to the football stadium and now baseball. And so Ben will always be a very special person in the process. I also want to kind of I know we had a lot of people at Georgia, but this is not a normal deal for me, I guess, but give a little shout out to Rick McKinney, who kind of showed up and stood in the rain and kind of waited out there for us to get there. And I know he made that long drive on his own, and that's what he's about. And I mean, you know, I know we don't always agree on things, but I know he loves the Mean Green, and I love seeing that passion. And I know a lot of people on this board are the same way. I don't want to leave any of those out, but you know, seeing Rick there, taking that drive on his own to be there with us at Georgia was important. And not only did I see it, but players saw it. So we want to thank Rick and the rest of the folks who showed up for the game there in Athens.
Well, Rick is definitely a good fan, and I'm very skeptical that the guy that helped you get the $2 fee pushed through is now in hiding in South America.
I'm sorry?
I think it's very shady that the guy that helped the $2 fee get pushed through is now in hiding in South America.
Yes, he is. they are still looking for him for passing that fee.
Yeah, that's typical. I see how things are done. But, hey, at this point, I don't care because it's obviously paying off.
Right, exactly.
Hey Rick, exactly. I'll be in New Orleans. I hope to see you there celebrating a victory.
Well, I tell you what, there'll be two teams in green and white there. Tulane, you may not know this yet, but has decided they wanted to wear all white on Saturday. They also scheduled us for homecoming. And, you know, so I think they're using every psychological tool they can think of to distract us. But I can tell you at the end of the day, the guys wearing green on top will end up on top. And then I hope everybody will be there to watch it.
All right. Once again, Rick, we really appreciate you being with us tonight.
Well, it's always a pleasure, and let's do this again real soon.
Right. Sounds good, man. Take care.
All right, guys. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green. That was Rick Villarreal, the athletic director for the University of North Texas. It's great to have access to have him on with us.
Hey, look, don't ever say Go Mean Green until the end of our show, because now you can't say it. You used it up, so I'm the only one that can say Go Mean Green at the end of the podcast. Thanks.
Sorry, man. I didn't mean to. to destroy. Should we edit that out?
Hey, man, I'm excited. That just the thought of us winning in New Orleans and then Rick buying everyone drinks. And
out of one glass. You know what? In New Orleans, I guarantee you can find a big old
big
glass.
Ass, green glass.
Glass. Yes, you'll be able to get that. And RV, and you know what? You know, he mentioned it. He is an emotional guy, and you got to love that. He puts it in his all his mind, soul, body into everything.
What a great birthday present, too, it would be to come home with a victory.
Exactly right. So with that, we are running at about 45 minutes. So we're going to go ahead and drop it off there, and we will see you guys next week. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.